Welcome, my friends, to Art House Radio, another exciting and or thoughtful episode, depending on your perspective. You might find thought interesting and exciting. If you do, this is probably the place for you, I think. I hope. What you just heard was the audio from a video installation I did last year called Somewhere Between Hope and Fear. I really love the audio. The piece was about maybe the pillars of our communities and what they mean to us. I had taken video of the old Kellogg's factory in Battle Creek, Michigan, and put that up against sounds of the Post factory. Kellogg's having abandoned the city, factory-wise, and Post having always stayed. And I like the idea of those two things clashing or being in harmony. They mean different things to that city. It's like any town that has like a factory or a business that is like the heart and soul of the economy. And what happens when they get up and leave because they want to put their business in a better financial state? So they go to a third world country they go to a country that's doesn't have as many restrictions, or they can pay them less, whatever the case might be. What happens? What are the effects of that? And so I like the idea of the audio being, you know, sort of the sounds of a business that finds value in that, in staying with the community where they were at. And I don't like to get too political in some of the things that I do, but I thought this was an interesting contrast. And so I put them together and it went over really well. And that audio is, I like it. It's just factory sounds. I made field recordings of the factory, various parts of it, and I sort of tweaked it and messed with it and tinkered with it, and that's what you heard. And it's 10 minutes long. And I love the idea of big spaces. We don't think a lot about sounds. We don't listen to them as much as we should, I think. I used to have this, and I've probably told this story before, but I used to have a great professor who took us on what he called sonic walks. And every student in the class, this was when I was studying music at Western Michigan in Kalamazoo, every student had to create a map that had various points in it. And each point you had to stand and listen to the sound. So essentially it was a collection of like maybe 10 sounds that they thought were interesting in our local environment, from our classroom out to maybe like a different part of campus and then back. And everybody went through their sonic walk. We all had to take somebody on a sonic journey, and it made us listen to our environment. And there were sounds that made us laugh and sounds that annoyed us, all kinds of things. And this show is a huge part of that. I mean, it's sounds, my voice or the sounds that I'm creating going straight to your ears. It means something. It means something to me. And if you're supporter of the show, then I that means something to me as well. But I love the interaction that we have of me creating some sort of sonic walk for you, and you listen to it and you react to it, hopefully in a good way, but not always. So that's a big part of the show. This is a huge part of the podcast from the beginning. I've always wanted to play pieces that I had composed myself. In the beginning, it was sort of, I thought I wanted to play different works by different people, but then we have such complicated copyright laws that doesn't always take place. You know, I don't want to have, you know, terrible emails from companies saying like, you need to take that down. But it actually worked out to my benefit because I wanted to create sounds, and sometimes I'll create musical works or sound pieces just for an episode, which pushes me artistically, if that's the right word to use. So there you go. Somewhere Between Hope and Fear. Today, episode 31, I was going to read something that I thought you might find interesting. I was walking through the library here in Lansing, Michigan, beautiful Lansing, Michigan, and I saw a book called Other People's Rejection Letters, edited by Bill Shapiro. And, you know, it's just like it sounds. Heartbreaking, cruel, ridiculous, and very emotional rejection letters that he collected from various situations, people getting rejection letters from work or from school or from art galleries, from former lovers or from parents or from sons or daughters. Very moving, very touching. And what I did was I read through the book and I picked out a few of my favorites. Now, at the beginning, there's an introduction by Bill Shapiro, and I thought I'd just read a quick paragraph that sort of describes the motivation he had to do this book. In 1976, a skinny girl named Danny with her hair the color of cinnamon left a note on my summer camp bunk bed that read, in its entirety, "Billy, I like Jason." And that's pretty much what set me off when I read that. I thought, this is going to be a really good book. And what's going to happen? I'm just going to go through it. Are you ready? Let's just dive right in, shall we? All right, this first one is from the Department of English at Louisiana State University. Thank you for submitting. Unfortunately, the work you sent us is quite terrible. Please forgive the form rejection, but it would take too much of my time to tell you exactly how terrible it was. So again, sorry for the form letter. What a terrible thing, you know? How crushed that person must be. It wasn't good enough for the Department of English, this person, to send a rejection letter saying, like, I'm sorry, we're just going to go with another candidate. This person had to step in and crush this person. I would really like to see this person's work. Wouldn't you? How terrible must it be for a professor to think they had to write in that you're terrible at what you do. The work is just, it's just, there's so much wrong with it. I don't have, it would take too much of my time to tell you exactly how terrible it was. I really wish I knew who wrote, who the applicant was, because I would love to see the progress. Maybe that was a motivation for them. Maybe they use this as a jumping off stage to become better. I know the first time that I'm getting personal here. Are you ready? The first time I did a piano audition at Western Michigan, I got rejected. There were like 100 pianists and they were only going to keep, I think, 8 or 9. And I went in there and I played some stuff and I got a rejection letter, and it hurt because I was playing the piano at KCC and I was doing quite well, and I hadn't been in the music game as long as, you know, some pianists who start at the age of 4, right out of the womb. They're just playing scales and hand and exercises. But that lit a fire under me. 2 years later, auditioned, got in. So sometimes rejection is a great thing. I just think it's interesting that there are people in this world who want to take the time to be nasty. Although maybe, I wonder if they thought about that. Maybe this professor thought, like, I'm going to just be straight with them, and I'm going to hope that they learn from this. And they're either going to dust themselves off and get back up, you know, not to paraphrase Chumbawamba there, and get right back up again. But maybe that's what needs to happen. I don't know. It does seem, to me, it seems a little uncalled for. I think if you're going to tell someone they're terrible, I think they deserve or have the right to know why you think that. Because when you say it's terrible, and but you're not going to elaborate on that, that seems very dismissive. Whereas if you say, like, look, this is what your problem is. I don't know. If I was the professor, I would, if I were to say, I'm sorry, this is just terrible work, I would feel like I needed to go in to detail to tell them why. But some people don't feel that way. Dear Penny, I've been thinking about our conversation at your last appointment, and I feel I should apologize for my defensiveness at your comments about your hair. I have felt for a while that you're not happy with your hair. Your last appointment confirmed that. There comes a time when a stylist or client relationship has run its course, and it would be best for both of us to not continue. I feel you should find another stylist who might better understand your needs. I will be canceling your future appointments. Sincerely, Annie. October 17th. We have been through this again and again. You say you want to see me. I tell you that it won't work that it never does. We talk about it. I agree to come over to talk about it more. We force smiles, small talk, and then you say something that hurts me, and I call you on it, and then you say I'm being too sensitive, that I was always too sensitive. Or maybe I say something sarcastic because I don't want to get hurt again, and then you get upset. Then it escalates, and we end up screaming at each other and pounding on the tables. Neither of us backs down, ever. Then you tell me what a shitty son I am. I tell you that I hate your guts and don't need you in my life. I walk out the door. I do not want to keep doing this, Mom. I can't. It's too painful, and it's not getting better. So I'm going to be out of touch. I will not return your calls, so don't bother. I will call you in 6 months. We need to break this cycle one way or another. Okay, so this one is written by a very young kid. You can tell by the handwriting. It's handwritten. And it's a very short letter from one friend to another. I don't know what it means, but it's kind of funny. Anthony, thanks for the book. Really nice work. Sorry, but not this time. Steve Byron. This is another kid one, maybe a sixth grader, handwritten, in cursive, it's going out of style, very short. Amy, okay, I'll stop saying things about your butt. What did you think? I like you as a girlfriend? Well, I don't, okay? Bye, Mike. Oh, Mike, you have a long way to go, my friend. From Victoria Morgan, NBC Universal, this is an email to Shannon Hogan regarding a PETA tape. PETA as in the People for Ethical Treatment of Animals. The PETA spot submitted to advertising standards depicts a level of sexuality exceeding our standards. Listed below are the edits that need to be made. Before finalizing the spot, we would like to view a QuickTime file as well as a DVD. Thanks, Victoria Morgan. 12 seconds, licking pumpkin. 14 seconds, touching her breast with her hand while eating broccoli. 19 seconds, pumpkin from behind, between legs. 21 seconds, rubbing pelvic region with pumpkin. This pumpkin? What? 22 seconds, screwing herself with broccoli. She sounds healthy. I mean, she's clearly got a good relationship with vegetables. So, what's wrong with that? It's a balanced diet. 23 seconds, asparagus on her lap appearing as if it is ready to be inserted into vagina. 26 seconds, licking eggplant. 26 seconds, also, rubbing asparagus on breast. Sincerely, Victoria Morgan, Vice President, Advertising Standards, NBC Universal. July 5th, 2006. Steve, what happened to you? You were a kind, generous, honorable man. Now you've turned into this angry, empty person. I can't even call you a man anymore. You're not the man I fell in love with. This is not Steve. Steve would never do these things. Steve promised me he would never leave me and that he would never cheat on me. I believed him. You broke those promises. Steve loved me deeply, and I know it was genuine. You threw that all away and justified it to yourself by making things up about our relationship, problems that never really existed. Steve was proud of me for earning the money to go to Europe all by myself. You told people that you paid for my trip when I wouldn't allow you to give me a dime. Steve respected my money and my things. You cracked my rear bumper on my car and messed up the airbag system and didn't even mention it to me. You also charged something to my debit card when you never had permission to do such a thing. Steve was loyal, loving, and trustworthy. You cheated on me numerous times and weren't even man enough to tell me about it. You told me that she stayed in the guest room for just a few nights because so-and-so kicked her out and she couldn't afford her own place. You lied. You let her move into your bedroom, the one you used to call our room, after so-and-so found out about you two and kicked her out. And anyway, if she was so broke, how is it possible that she could afford a $116 plane ticket for you? Steve told me he would always tell me if something was wrong, or if he needed space. You told me you were going to London. Steve would never yell at me. You yelled at me over the phone at work in front of everyone. Steve loved me. You hate my guts for reasons that are all in your head. Steve knew what a great relationship we had and knew how much I loved him. You won't even recognize that. Steve would be there for me when I needed him. You were too busy on my birthday to even talk to me that night when I needed you after my car got broken into. You had better things to do on a Sunday afternoon than to comfort me over the phone when I was stuck in the Madrid airport all night. Steve showed me off to all his friends. You created a webpage that said you were single and demanded that I stay away from your friends. Steve had a lot of friends who respected him. You have lost the respect of many. Steve loved his job and would do anything to achieve career success. You gambled on losing your job for a cliche. I don't know what happened to Steve. To me, he no longer exists. He was the love of my life, my forever. I do know that somebody, or that someday, Steve will realize what he has done and deeply regret it. When that day comes, I will not be there. I never want to see or speak to you again. I realize that you may never read this, but I can't have the last words said between us to be shouted out over anger on the phone. I don't regret a second of our relationship because I know that I gave it my all. I gave my whole heart and soul to a man that I love deeper than I've ever loved anyone before, and possibly deeper than I will ever love again. And that love was reciprocated. I will never have to blame myself for something I did or didn't do. I was honest, loyal, and trusting to a fault. I can hold my head up high and know that I did everything I could possibly do to make this relationship great, and it was great. You, on the other hand, do not have that privilege. You have to carry this great guilt, the guilt that is actually weighing down your shoulders so much that you are slouching. Steve never slouched. He always stood up tall and proud because he had plenty of things in his life to be proud of. That was one of my favorite things about Steve. You are so burdened by your mistakes that you actually look small and weak. You are not Steve. I hope you find yourself and that you're happy. I truly do. Have a nice life. Brandy. Dear Nutless Coward, so you never wrote back to my letter. Classy. I don't care about your official in a relationship status, okay? That is no goddamn excuse for not replying to me. I don't care if you're in a stage where you're fucking everything that moves, or you've started hanging out with someone, or you're committed, or you're married with three kids, a minivan, and a house in the suburbs. You fucking respond. You man the fuck up, and you face everything that comes your way, no matter how uncomfortable it might be. But really, no answer? More than a month later and no answer whatsoever. That's pathetic. I sent you the letter telling you that I've been in love with you for 7 years, but I'm the one who thinks that you're pathetic. That's got to show you something. So you know what? Forget it. Don't worry about it. Just forget I said anything to you ever. Erase my little message from your inbox. I don't want you anymore. Olivia. Another handwritten one by a young person. Dear Doofus Kenny, I hate you, stupid crap ass. You're an idiot. P.S. When you're a teenager, move to India. Your old friend, Alex. Kids are so funny. Thank you for listening. Art House Radio is supported by people like you, listeners, supporters of the show, who go to our website, arthouse43.com, and then they click on donate, and they choose one of two paths. You can do recurring donations, or you can do one-time donations. And it's set, I think, $25, $50, $75, and $100, something like that for each, for recurring or one-time. Please, it's so important. If you can give to the show, it keeps the show going. We're trying to create something here, a movement, an arts movement for your ears, and all kinds of interesting discussions, I hope, and more interviews and discussions to come with people from all around. Since I do most of my discussions with people via Skype, I could do with them with anywhere in the world. If you have an arts festival in Topeka, Kansas, and you are listening to this and you want to talk about it, send me an email. Let's talk. We'll see what happens. In the meantime, you could really help me out by going to iTunes and clicking on write a review, or just rate it out of one, you know, out of 5 stars or something. It really helps generate traffic. It helps immensely with the numbers. The numbers are going up. If you could do that, that would be great. I already thank you for listening, and I double thank you if you do that. Creative projects are never free, so any support you could give would be greatly appreciated. I am your host, Troy Ramos, hurtling through the cosmos just like you, on a space rock, spinning. That's what we're doing together, holding hands through this audio program as we fearlessly and fearfully at times, let's be honest, sometimes things are a little scary on this planet, making our way through time as we get older and we confront new dilemmas and we overcome obstacles. We do it together. We do it with the people on our block. We do it in our communities. We do it through supporting people by writing reviews for them on iTunes, particularly podcasts named Art House Radio, hosted by people like Troy Ramos. I would love to support you too. You can tweet at me, tweet at projects, or tweet your projects to me, rather. That's a better way to say that. You can go to facebook.com/arthouse43, like our page. You should like our page and post something on the wall. You've got a project, throw it up there. Maybe I'll talk about it. At Spanish Peanuts on Twitter, tweet at me. Anything you want, send me a personal email. If you want me to read something on the air, you got a poem, you've got some sort of a soliloquy, any sort of a thing you just want to tell, let me know, please send it to me. And I know that people are listening in Canada and the UK and Germany. And I was pretty big in the Netherlands for a while, so I know you're listening too. Let me hear it. Who are you? Why are you listening? Tell me what you like. Just tell me something about yourself. It might be interesting. Yeah, I might want to talk to you. I might respond. You never know. Well, listen. I've got some great episodes coming up. I think you're going to like them. I hope you liked this one, episode 31. I'm still your host. Haven't been relieved yet. Haven't been fired. Haven't been removed. So that's good, right? I've still got my podcast hosting job. 31 episodes in. Episode 32 will be coming up shortly. I've got some interesting pledge drive schemes. Schemes is a bad word. Plans, exchanges, bartering that involve sound compositions for donations, original works written for you, a collection of people. Have I piqued your interest yet? Well, I'm working on it, so stay tuned. And remember to enjoy life. It's beautiful out there. It's springtime. Look at those flowers. Take a walk. Don't use your car sometimes. Just walk or ride and look around you. Notice the gardens. See what's coming up. Look at the people bustling about with the warmer spring weather that's already arrived. All right? Enjoy it. Until next time, friends.